the rest of us, Ruth chapter 2. Well, I guess I'll just talk to the organ side today. No, it's okay. It's okay. But you know that I'm not getting through to you if I start looking over here and preaching, okay? Oh, man. Where is Ruth? I know it's in here. Mercy. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. I think that's right. Yes. There we go. How many of you... Now, don't answer this. It's one of those rhetorical questions. How many of you had to go up a belt loop this time? I'll answer it. I did. Miss Peggy's doing awesome, by the way. But this is going to have to be my recovery week, I think. All right, Ruth, chapter 2. Isn't Ruth a beautiful story? Hadn't been great. Just a really touching story, and I love how the Lord has used it in my heart, and I look forward to what God's going to do in this passage today. Okay, our text is verse 13 to the end of the chapter, and so let's start in verse 10, and we'll just remain seated. We'll read all the way to the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 10, but know that verse 13 is where our text begins, okay? Verse 10. Then she fell on her face. So this is talking about Ruth in thankfulness to Boaz. Bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come into a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Sorry, can't read this morning. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wing thou art come to trust. Now our text begins in verse 13 of Ruth chapter 2. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not likened to one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and she reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Now, what's happening thus far is Boaz has offered that Ruth would be able to have lunch or a meal, because they work long hours and they would get hungry through the process, but Ruth wouldn't have had very much to eat throughout the day. Boaz offered that Ruth would be able to eat with his workers, which was an honor, and then he gave extra, like leftovers. How many of you guys up here like leftovers? Amen. I see all those hands. Yep. And so she took leftovers home. Who do you think that was for? That was for Naomi. And then gave over in abundance in the reaping process so that she could take all that home. So he's being really good to her, isn't he? All right, now where did I leave off reading? Verse 19, I think. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? So you have been blessed, my daughter, is what's happening here. And where wottest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Now, This struck a chord with Naomi. Look at verse 20. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." Now, when she said to the living and to the dead, she was not only talking about herself and Ruth, but also the blessing of the name of Elimelech, because Boaz is in the line and lineage of Elimelech. So Naomi is already seeing, isn't she, that the blessing didn't just come from the food, but from the line and the family, because this is a family that can take care of them for the rest of their lives. So it's a pretty amazing thing here. And Naomi noticed that right off when she said the living and the dead. The last part of verse 20, and Naomi said unto her, "The man is a near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." And Ruth, the Moabitess, said, "He said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." Verse 22, Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So verse 22 is important because Naomi was not only putting approval on Ruth working with Boaz, but was kind of giving her a confidence. Because, you know, as a lady in this world, she would have been vulnerable. And Naomi said, "Listen, not only is this a good thing, this is a safe thing. You can feel safe and comfortable to continue to work in this environment." So I love that. Verse 23, "So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean to the end of barley harvest," which would have been months, and of wheat harvest, "and dwelt with her mother-in-law." So it's a wonderful story. The topic that we're going to be dealing with, and I think you'll see it as we go through it, you'll see this concept begin to develop as we go through this story, and that is this: disappointments keep us from seeing the blessing. Okay, now the blessings were pouring into their life. Clearly, they were being blessed here. But if we allow, disappointments can hinder us from seeing those blessings. So we're going to talk about that today and see how God might help us with this story. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for mercy. We thank you for grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It surely is sweet. And as we think about our salvation, the joy that comes as a result of that, we can't but praise you and thank you, and we love you. We pray your blessings on the lesson this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, sometimes things are so rough that it's hard to see the good. Let me say that again. Sometimes things are so rough or feel so rough that it's hard to see the good. Even though the good's there, it's hard to see it. Last night, Melissa was looking for Grant's dress shoes, and we thought maybe they were left out in the van. And it was getting chilly, although it was really a pretty nice day yesterday. And honestly, it wasn't all that cold, but it was a little chilly. So she put her jacket on and went outside and sort of looked into the van. Well, Caleb was walking down for devotions and noticed the back door was unlocked, so he just locked it and kept going, you know. And so she comes back, and we're all sort of in the room looking at some silly football plays or something. I don't even remember what we were looking at. And next thing I know, she's banging on the back door. Boom, 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 let me in! You know, isn't it frustrating when you're trying to go in the positive direction? You've heard this, right? One step forward, two steps backwards. Raising kids is sometimes like that. At least it feels like it. I'm like, "Lord, help me. Help me to not kill them so that they might survive and serve you with their life. Maybe Lord, I need your help." You know, so we have those feelings, I think, sometimes with our kids. We go through those rough, and that was in jest, of course. But it is true that we go through hard things, and it's hard to see the blessings. We go through those trial times, and we forget, oh yeah, it is a blessing to have children. When we're going through the hard things, it's hard to remember how good it is, because it is good. It's just hard to see it sometimes. For example, some hard things that we could go through. Sometimes we get fired. We go through a hard thing at the job. It's not always ending in losing your job. Of course, that would be awful. But even going through a setback at the job because you messed up something and now maybe you wired it wrong. Not that that has ever happened, but something gets wired wrong, wires crossed, and then there's some sort of an explosion. It costs you a bunch. I just love watching this guy build these tables out of these old pieces of wood. Not old, I suppose, but just these pieces of wood of trees that are just giant. He makes them into tables, but he uses epoxy with the wood pieces, and then he, you know, does all this work to it, and it's quite a process. So I watch him go through this, and it's entertaining to me. So I really like it. But it's funny how many times he messes up. One time he did a he I mean these are we're talking $5,000 to $10,000 tables. I mean, so this isn't a small thing. Okay, just the piece of wood sometimes costs him up to $5,000, just the wood itself. So because it's such a rare piece of wood or something, you know. You can imagine the clients that he's working for, mercy, in their homes. But anyway, we won't go there. But he messed up. One time he did a cut and he cut the wrong side. I mean, could you imagine? And he says, in the video, you can tell that I'm very calm, but inside I was holding myself back. I can imagine. And we mess up sometimes, don't we? And those are hard things. When you go through a hard thing, it's hard to see the good. When something gets messed up, it's hard to see past that to anything that is good about this. You see, it's hard to do that. Like something going wrong in the job or going through a divorce. I hate that we even need to mention something like this, but it's true that it's a pretty common thing, isn't it? And going through something like that is a hard thing, so it's hard to see something good coming from that. Health emergencies, or how about this, a bad report from the doctor. When you get a bad report from the doctor, you're thinking, this isn't good. And it's not, I'm not making light of a bad report, but it's hard to see the good that could come or that is there. We're stuck on the bad. Or if we have rebellious children, or if we lose a child, or if we can't have a child. These are really difficult things to go through. It's hard to see the good. The death of a loved one. Sometimes we need to see the good more than ever because of how hard the bad thing that we're going through is. We need to see the good. The truth of the matter is that God is faithfully working in every situation. The reason why it's so hard to see is because we get stuck seeing or stuck in our discouragement about the bad things that are happening. We're too disappointed with the bad to see the good. Does that make sense? Just to simplify it down to one statement. We're too disappointed with the bad to see the good. Now, with that in mind, Ruth had been comforted by the compassion of Boaz. And this is amazing compassion. I mean, Boaz is doing things not only that he wasn't required to do by Levitical law, he was doing things over and above what was even hospitable. He was taking care of them. It was as though in just meeting Ruth and just learning her story that Boaz decided to take this family under his wing. Now, friends, that's amazing. That's amazing compassion. It's really a miracle in a sense. Maybe if we were on the scene, we would have noticed, maybe we would understand a little better if we were literally in the shoes of Boaz why he did this. But knowing what we know, he knew he was an older man. Now, I wouldn't say he was elderly, but he was older than her. He called her a young woman. And he referred to the men as young men. What does that mean of him? It's sort of like when I say to these kids, come up here. Or to the young men, I say young men. What does it imply about me? It implies that I have this bald spot on the back of my head and it's getting bigger. My brother won't let it go. So I saw him last week. He's like, yep, you're getting more like grandpa. Grandpa had a comb over. He said, are you going to do a comb over? I'm like, I don't know, I may. I haven't decided yet. Depends on how far my receding hairline goes, you know. Enough about that. Anyway, so Boaz was an older gentleman. And yeah, thanks for that. Appreciate that. Yeah, amen. Brother Eric took his hat off and showed me, so. now I'm distracted. Thanks for messing that up. No. Boaz, he was older, so I don't know that he would have assumed that Ruth would have been interested in him, or he was truly even interested in her in a romantic sense. Although we know where this story is going to go, because it's totally the Lord and amazing, and it's very romantic in that sense as we get closer to the end of this. But his compassion would have been motivated by something beyond that. And I think that we can say it at this point that God had something to do with it. God had something to do with the compassion that Boaz had. God was working in Boaz, and God was working through him to be compassionate. That's a message all by itself. That when God works in us, He works through us. He works in us to be compassionate in our hearts, and He works through us to be compassionate in our deed. And that was Boaz. And I believe God was doing that. And so He comforted Ruth. Look at verse 13. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight." Favor is, you might remember last time, this is grace. If you are gracious, and Ruth was so gracious, then what will you find? Grace. And so she is finding favor, which means grace, in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me. That's the word I wanted you to see. Boaz has comforted her. What a powerful emotional word. Let's read on. For that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. Note this, because this is why she was so comforted. This was her spirit. The last phrase of verse 13. Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. So she was comforted by his compassion. And it was a motivator, I would say. What allowed her to be so comforted was the humility that she had in her heart. She didn't see herself highly. She saw herself low. Now the word comfort meant or implied that it was with compassion. That's where I get the word compassion. It's not in the passage, but we see the compassion of Boaz. And the word comfort, when you look it up, it means to be comforted because of the compassion of others. Sort of like the funeral for Grandpa on Thursday. And that was a quick trip. Praise God for safety on the road. It was sort of miserable driving all those hours. But we made it Wednesday and had the viewing and was with family and just really a sweet time on Wednesday afternoon and early evening. And then Thursday was the service. And they wanted me to sing Amazing Grace. So I sang, and everybody sang along, but I was singing with the guitar Amazing Grace. We sang all the verses, and then we sang the first verse again. When we got to the last verse, the 10,000 years, I can't remember how it says, when we've been there 10,000 years, Grandma was on the front row, and Grandpa's casket was open. She stood up and walked up to Grandpa during that verse. And of course, there wasn't anybody singing but me after that. Everybody, there wasn't any dry eyes in there. Well, why? They were married 71 years. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And it was like Grandma said her last goodbye. And Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years. Well, at the end of the service, family started going by, and everybody was comforting Grandma, you see? And so the imagery is sort of emotional in the sense that although there's not a death in this situation here, the compassion is Boaz seeing the need, seeing the emotional turmoil and struggle in the family of Ruth and Naomi, and showing that love, showing that compassion, showing that heart, and it was moving. It was moving. And so Ruth here was moved. So she said, "I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." This would have meant that Ruth didn't see herself as worthy. One writer said it like this: Ruth viewed herself as occupying the lowest rung on the ladder. She felt less important than Ruth, than Boaz's handmaids, his servant. She felt lower than them, unworthy. Melissa needed to go to Kohl's the other day to take a gift back it was something that we had bought for Grant, and it didn't fit him, so we needed to take it back. And so we're on our way to Oklahoma on Wednesday. We stopped in Topeka at Kohl's. I dropped her off. I went and filled up at gas. And then I went back to pick her up. And I knew she would be right out, right? Tongue in cheek. Anyway, so I find a parking spot right at the front. So I pull into it. And then I notice the sign on the thing. It wasn't handicapped, but it said employee of the month. I'm like, well, I'm the employee of the month today. You know, so I messaged Melissa. I said, hey, I'm out here. I'm waiting in the employee of the month parking spot. And she said, congratulations. Thank you. I don't really feel worthy for the honor. And I said that to be funny. But Ruth here, she's saying, I don't feel worthy. Truly, I'm not the employee of the month. She's not boasting herself. She's not hitting her chest. I'm the employee of the month. She doesn't see herself that way. She's not worthy for this. And she's blessed. Now, although that was Ruth's spirit, which is a marvelous, humble spirit. Which, by the way, what does God do to the humble? I will lift you up. Humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord, and He will lift you up. This is happening. Look at verse 8. We'll read a few verses here. Follow along. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Jump down to verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Verse 16. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field even until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And an ephah of barley is about 30 pounds. That's a lot. So this is a heavy load of fruit that she has been blessed with. And so Boaz here is showing abundant hospitality. He invited her to eat with him, provided for his workers. He ordered his workers to, or rather her to glean among his workers, and then to drop extra stalks of barley just for her. He provided for her abundantly, and that's what the 30 pounds of food would imply. This would have been enough for many days. This was blessings. And what we can see is that God was blessing. Now, to understand our tendency, because this is a tremendously positive lesson, and we're going to end this thing with a tremendously encouraging and positive end, but I think we need to see a tendency that we have so that we can understand how much of a blessing this lesson is. Okay? And that is that Naomi had a rotten, stinking attitude last time. Remember? She was bitter. She was a bitter woman. And God was blessing. He was pouring. The blessings were there. But she didn't see them. She didn't see that God, the potential that God, it wasn't just that the blessing, watch, it wasn't just that the blessings were already being dumped into them. She couldn't see the potential for the blessings. She was blinded. She was hindered by her bitterness. And so I think, although we won't talk about bitterness this morning, I think that we can see that we can become focused on the bad things that are there in our life, and so focused on them that we can't see the good, and we can't see the potential for good because of the bad. Even while I was writing this sermon, it was happening while I was writing this message, so I put it in the sermon, that my kids kept interrupting me. Now, I got home on Thursday late, and then we got up on Friday, and I knew it was a mad dash to get my lessons and sermons written. So it was from morning until night. I was totally pooped by the end of Friday night because I knew Saturday was going to be Christmas family and busy, which was wonderful, but I had to get things done by Friday, all of it done by Friday. So I was working hard, and the kids kept coming in. Dad! Dad! Hey, Dad! I'm like, guys, I mean, I love you, but I don't like you right now. You need to leave. You need to go out of here. I mean, I like you too, but not really. I mean, you need to go out of here. So they kept bothering me, and it was at one point, because there's so many of them, they seem to multiply. And I know it's probably different for girls. Amen. The girls are sweet, and they don't interrupt, and they're not loud. They anyway, I was starting to get a little irritated, and I was getting tired too, so I was getting cranky. Don't say anything, Caleb. But it was in those moments that I was, and I'm not really proud of this, but I was getting on. I was trying to write a sermon here about God's blessings, but I was pretty cranky. You see where I'm going with this? I was pretty upset and irritated, and then I'm writing stuff like, but God does good things in spite of the bad things, and you need to see that. And I'm like, get out of here, you know? So can pastors be hypocrites? Yeah, unfortunately. I'm blessed. I'm a blessed man to have these boys, and they're a blessing to me. And I see God doing great things with them. I believe that they'll serve the Lord, and I'm not just saying that. I really believe that. But when you're annoyed by them, you don't see it in that moment. That's what I'm saying. And bad things can make us not see the good. I asked Brother Tim if I could use Danielle, and she's not been recovering like we hoped. It doesn't seem that she's getting worse, but she doesn't seem to be getting better. And we understand, don't we? We've been around this COVID thing long enough, and those that go down, it takes a long time. So we need to pray and be patient and trust God and just put her in the hands of God. But that's hard, isn't it? Especially if it's a loved one, it's hard. And so there's been some disappointments there with this illness. But let me say that there's been good things too. Even though she's not recovering like we hope, there's been good things. We had that prayer day, and I've mentioned it in sermons at least a couple of times, but there's one thing I haven't mentioned, and that was that on that day, it would have been a Friday, we met. Brother Tim did the Facebook feed, and there was hundreds of people that watched, and there was a lot of people that showed up at the church that night, and Brother Tim did a short gospel sermon and prayed for Danielle, and then that was the end. It wasn't anything spectacular, just very simple. But God used that. Well, the next day, Brother Tim called me, or I called him just to see, and he said, you've got to hear this. So the doctor came in on Friday, the day we prayed, and she had pneumonia. He came in Saturday and said she didn't have pneumonia. So in one day, she had pneumonia, the next day she didn't. And I said, I think that maybe God had something to do with that. And he said, amen. How could you not see? How could you not see? It seems so obvious, right? But let me go a little bit higher than that, a step more than that. That night on Friday, Dale, his son, came to church. One who Brother Tim has thought maybe would never come, and he came. And Brother Tim yesterday told me that Dale asked if Tim would pray with him. Brother Tim would pray with him. That's a miracle too. So God's doing good. We get focused on the bad, don't we? And we should pray. And I'm not saying neglect to pray and neglect and let's act like nothing's wrong. I'm not saying that. But here's what I am saying. We can become so focused and discouraged and saddened and heartbroken that we can't see the good. So our life can be that way. Financial strain, not being promoted, family problems, marriage problems, despair in the home. Job, as I mentioned in the beginning, failures there, challenges, co-workers, or even the loss of a job, to see the good in spite of these bad things, or a relationship issue. When there is stress or friction in relationships, I don't know that there's anything harder than that. Would you agree? There's some hard things we go through, but I'm not sure that there's anything harder than when there's stress or tension in close loved ones. We're a relational people. We are designed that way. It's why God created us for relationships. That's why Adam couldn't be left alone. He needed a help meet for him. Someone who would complete him and whom he would complete. Relationships. But disappointments, these kinds of disappointments can cause us to not be able to even see the blessings at all. Naomi then is brought this wonderful news. How does she respond? And I love her response because she saw Boaz's compassion. And she did not see it as a coincidence. She saw it as a blessing from God. Now I want you to see that. Verse 18. So she took it up, this is Ruth, and went to the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned and brought forth. And she gave to her that she had reserved after she had sufficed. This would have been the leftover food meal. She gave it to her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that is taken knowledge of thee. She showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Now note this. This is the key. Verse 20. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. So Naomi knew that it was Boaz. But she knew that beyond Boaz, it was God. She knew it was the Lord that did this. She knew it was a blessing. She recognized that it was a blessing that was coming from God. It was God that was taking care of them. Now, one writer said it like this. Her night of sorrow, with its fog of depression, had broken into the dawning of a new day of joy. God is constantly sending blessings our way. Constantly. We just need to see them. I asked Melissa how her Christmas was last night. I said, How was your Christmas? And she said, Tell me the blessings. The first thing she said, and she was very tired. It was a long day. She said, My greatest blessing is that you did the dishes. Oh, I didn't see that coming. But amen, I'm glad that was your blessing. And then she said this, It was good to have mom and dad over. It was good to have the Campbells stop by. They came over last night and stopped by. And then she said, Having Mila and Kara was a blessing. They're sweet, you know. And then I couldn't help but say, you know, it's hard for me to see all of those blessings because my kids were so hyper. You know, when they get gifts, they just go into a new rung. You know, they're already pretty high up there, especially Ethan. But when there's presents under the tree and grandma and grandpa's there and, you know, all these things are happening, there's excitement in the air. They're jumping over the couch, and that drives me crazy. It drives me crazy when they're jumping over the couch. Like, don't do it again. Stop doing that. Don't do it again. You know? And I know you're supposed to spank them. And eventually one of them finally did get them. I thought, it's Christmas. Just do what I said. Stop jumping over the couch, you know? And I was getting, again, this sermon I think is for me, okay? Y'all are just tag-alongs with this. I was getting so frustrated about them just jumping over the furniture that I wasn't seeing these blessings. It wasn't as much of a blessing to me as it was to Melissa. It's a challenge for us because we always go through hard things. It's just a way, it's a part of life, not a way, but a part of life is that we go through hard things. Remodeling for the revival. We did a lot of stuff around the house and it was going great until I hit my finger on that steel rod with a sledgehammer. Remember that? I'll show you a picture if you want to see. It was pretty gross. But it wasn't going good after that. You know, it's hard when you hit your finger like that, it's hard to see the good things. But then when you look back, you think, you know, there was some good things that came from that. I've used it in like 4 sermons now. That's good, you know. But there was other things that God used to slow me down and remember, hey, I could have lost the whole finger. You know, I mean, sledgehammer, copper rod, this could have been really bad. But the point is that there's good things that are happening or that could happen as a result of the hard things we're going through. It's just hard to see that because we're so focused on what we're going through. So we need to look around, don't we? We need to look around and see the blessings. You know what would be wise for you and me is to look around and see the blessings that are around you every day. Look around and see how God is doing something in your life today. God's doing it. Not you or your hard work or a family or a friend or a coincidence. God is doing this. This is not a coincidence. God is using this. God is working. God did this, and that is in our life every day. We just have to see it. We have to see it. I have boys. I have a job. I have a chance to possibly win some family members or friends or people in Fall City. I still have a finger. I'm the employee of the month. There's good things. Ruth didn't feel worthy, but God is faithful. Can I say that again? Ruth didn't feel worthy, but God is faithful. You and I are not worthy, but God is faithful. Melissa this morning came, she's not in here, so I'm going to embarrass her a little bit. She came to my office and she, in tears, and she said, you know, Ben, I want you to use this in your lesson. In tears, she said, there's not anything more in my entire life than I can think of that I'm not worthy of, but God is faithful to give me salvation. Oh, wow. Think about it. You're saved. You're not going to go to hell. You heard the gospel and God touched your heart. And now you're saved. Is there anything better than that? Is there anything that we're more unworthy of than that? We go through hard things. Let's not forget to look around and see that God is doing something that's not a coincidence. God is doing it. The blessings are there. Don't let the hard things keep you from seeing them. Ruth didn't. Naomi didn't. We should. Okay? Father, I pray for your help this morning to have the kind of focus that Naomi and Ruth and these sweet ladies had. And then, Lord, in our life, as we consider the hard things that we struggle and go through from time to time, the things that keep us from seeing the blessings, or we allow them to keep us from seeing the blessings. And help us to not pause. Help us to pause, rather, and to see the blessings. Please. And then, dear Father, just to give you the glory, because you're worthy. I pray you bless the day, bless the message to come, work in the hearts of the lost, help us to be faithful. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.